Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Wichita City Council to select a new city manager today. We have the story.
Federal judge throws out indictment of former FBI Director Comey. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
Comey has responded after the federal indictment against him was thrown out by that federal judge.
Comey faced charges of making a false statement and obstructing Congress, but U.S. District Judge Cameron McGowan Curry ruled that the appointment of the prosecutor who filed those charges, former interim U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, Lindsey Halligan, was invalid. In a video posted to social media, Comey said he expects the president to come after him again.
And my attitude is going to be the same. I'm innocent. I am not afraid.
He added he believes in an independent federal judiciary.
The gift from our founders that protects us from a would-be tyrant.
Attorney General Pam Bondi says the government will take all necessary action, including appealing the ruling. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
The case was dismissed without prejudice, meaning it could potentially be brought back by the DOJ. Judge Curry also dismissed mortgage fraud charges filed against New York Attorney General Letitia James.
The Wichita City Council expected to vote today between the two finalists for the city manager job, Mark Freitag and Dennis Marstall. The new manager will guide more than a dozen of the city's departments and manage more than 3,000 employees. He'll be replacing Bob Layton, retiring after 16 years on the job. The council will also be holding a workshop today and receive an update on homeless services.
The Sedgwick County Sheriff's Office has released the name of a man who died in a three-vehicle crash Saturday afternoon at the intersection of 135th Street West and 63rd Street South, southwest of Wichita. Sheriff's Office identifies the deceased as 63-year-old Dwayne Wesley Evers of Clearwater. The crash involved an Amazon delivery van, a pickup, and a motorcycle. Evers was the motorcycle driver. His passenger, a 58-year-old Clearwater woman, suffered critical injuries.
United States and Ukrainian officials are suggesting that some progress is being made to refine President Trump's peace proposal to end the war in Ukraine. Fox's Kevin Cork with more from the nation's capital.
The president hinting on social media that something good just may be about to happen. Meantime, U.S. officials have been huddling with Ukrainian envoys in Geneva ahead of the country's president, Volodymyr Zelensky's, expected visit to the White House this weekend. While the folks over at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue have yet to confirm that visit, officials do tell Fox a major change in the war's posture could be in the offing. Still, Zelensky says the main sticking point remains doing whatever it takes to keep his country whole. Now, critics of the White House's proposal say it simply doesn't go far enough to require concessions from Russia.
The oldest living survivor of the 1921 Tulsa race massacre has died.
Viola Ford Fletcher is dead. She was 111. Fletcher was 7 years old when a white mob stormed Tulsa's mostly black Greenwood district following a newspaper story about a black man assaulting a white woman. Hundreds of people died and 30 blocks of the affluent neighborhood were destroyed. Just 2 years ago, Fletcher penned a memoir of the massacre titled "Don't Let Them Bury My Story." Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:04, 4 minutes past 7 o'clock.
K-State men's basketball heading to the road tonight against a nationally ranked opponent. We'll preview that game coming up in sports.
President Trump set to pardon two lucky turkeys ahead of Thanksgiving. That story and more just ahead on the KNSS Morning News. KNSS News Time, 7:08, 8 minutes past 7 o'clock, 48 degrees. A crash involving three vehicles south of Denver near Franktown, Colorado, late Monday afternoon killed five people, including three juveniles. The Colorado State Patrol says the driver of a Toyota lost control of the vehicle while headed south on Highway 83. The car rolled and then collided with another car and a pickup. Again, that's in Franktown, Colorado, just a few miles south of Denver.
A woman discovered alive inside her coffin after being brought in for cremation.
It was the last thing staff at the Wat Rat Prakong Tham Temple in Thailand expected to hear, a faint tapping from the wooden coffin that had just arrived at their door. When they opened it, They found a woman moving slightly inside the casket. According to a temple manager, the woman had been bedridden for 2 years and became unresponsive. Her brother drove her 300 miles to a hospital, which refused to accept her without a death certificate. The manager was explaining to the brother how to get one when the telltale tapping began. She's now receiving medical treatment, the temple covering the cost. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
A newly identified Michelangelo drawing of a foot could fetch more than $2 million at auction.
Christie's says a 5-inch red chalk sketch of a man's right foot has been linked to Michelangelo's work on the Sistine Chapel ceiling. The drawing is believed to depict the model for the Libyan Sibyl, one of the master's iconic figures painted around 1511. The piece, owned by an anonymous Northern California seller whose family has held it since the 1700s, was authenticated after detailed lab tests matched it to other Michelangelo studies. Christie says no known Sistine Chapel study has ever come to auction. The sketch goes on sale in February and could become the most expensive drawing of a foot ever sold. Ted Lindner, Fox News.
President Trump is set to pardon two lucky turkeys ahead of Thanksgiving, with some help from Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins.
Gobble and Waddle are the names of the two Thanksgiving turkeys who will get an official pardon from President Trump. Secretary of Agriculture Rollins on Fox and Friends explains how they were chosen.
They were all talking to me, but the ones that talked to me the loudest, they're the ones who got chosen.
As usual.
So. The turkey pardon dates back to the 1940s, but became an annual tradition during the George H.W. Bush administration. Gobble and Waddle hail from North Carolina and received their names through a poll conducted by First Lady Melania Trump, where voters were able to decide from a list of names. At the White House, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:10. Make that 7:11. 11 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Traffic in the Wichita area is starting to pick up. We're getting some heavier traffic volumes out there. And just taking a look at those traffic cameras, we do still have some fog in the area. Visibility an issue. Visibility at Eisenhower National Airport only at a half mile at the moment. So definitely a bit of a problem there. Something to watch out for. Also, those roadways may be just a little damp and slippery. Traffic update from 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. In the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, I'm Jad Chambers.
And now the forecast with Storm Team 12 Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen. Good morning, Ross.
Well, good morning to you, Steve and Ted. I've got some good news and some bad news.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, here you go. So the good news is we're going to have some pretty smooth sailing, some conditions leading up to Thanksgiving. Sunshine looks like to have some very quiet weather. The bad news, if you're putting your holiday return home, your travels coming up Friday, Saturday, we are up against a storm system coming in that's going to have a wintry mix. So that's the good news and the bad news. I guess we could say the good news in all of this is that the precipitation is probably not going to be nearly enough to create an issue on the roads. But again, Saturday, we're looking at a chance for rain and then eventually switching over to some snow. Doesn't look like it's going to add up to very much, but that's something to be mindful of as we look ahead to the days after Thanksgiving. Now, the fog that's out there this morning will be out of here in the next 1 to 2 hours. Most of the computer models show by 9 o'clock this morning, we're back to sunshine. There's a cold front coming that's going to push it out of here. So 54 on the high today, also increasing wind out of the northwest. Gusts up to about 35 miles an hour today. The wind will start dying down later on tonight as we drop to a low near 30. And then with sunshine tomorrow, the high 45. Thanksgiving Day looks mostly sunny and 48. And we'll basically stay with highs in the 40s then to finish off this week. Kind of hard to believe this morning, but latest news from Cheney Lake, they're actually releasing water. Did you guys hear about this? But it's a foot, 1.6 feet above normal stage. And now they are releasing some water from the lake after months and months of it being so low.
Wow.
Right now, we got fog here in this morning around Wichita. It's 48 degrees. That's your Storm Team 12 forecast. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen.
You tell us that you can no longer wade across Cheney Lake then, huh?
Nope, you're going to need a boat now.
Okay. Hey, what about your partner then, the running man who today is wearing a big old boot? What's that all about?
Oh, I don't even know.
Okay.
I don't know. He didn't alert the rest of the team as to what was going on.
All right, he's probably just looking for a little sympathy, don't you think?
I think that's probably it, 100%.
Well, because Jake ran, what, 7 marathons on 7 continents? I'd have more than a boot on that.
You know, body cast.
I think the story's growing now. It's 7 trips around the world.
Wow. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. All right. Thank you, sir. Ross Jansen with our forecast this morning. And 7:14 now, Stephen in the morning, KNSS. And this is Tuesday, November 25th. We had a cloudy, rainy day across central Kansas yesterday. High temperature was 55, normal high 53. 1948 on this date, something amazing happened, Ted.
Mm-hmm.
The first Polaroid Model 95 camera sold in a Boston department store. Named the Polaroid Land Camera after Polaroid inventor and founder Edwin Land, the camera instantly delivered a finished sepia tone print 60 seconds after exposure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had one of those. When I was a kid, I was an older teenager, I finally, after Shelly and I got married, I had a tax refund or something and went out and bought me a Yashica camera, which was not 60 seconds, but it took great pictures. And I used that to take some really good pictures. I kind of got into photography there for a while, but I had a Land camera. There you go. John Kennedy Jr., born on this date in 1960. Attorney, magazine publisher, journalist, the son of 35th U.S. President John F. Kennedy and First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy. He died in a plane crash in 1999. And nobody knew where that guy was going. He was so good looking and smart. And he's apparently a pretty good businessman. Who knew where he was going to go?
He was a big star.
Yeah. A rising star.
Media star. So he was born just like a few weeks after JFK was elected.
Yeah. 1960. And let's see who's older today. How about a 95-year-old Texas man who's been driving city buses for 27 years, named the world's oldest bus driver by Guinness World Records. In Wichita Falls, Texas, Raymond Hager was 94 years and 176 days old when his age and status as an active bus driver were verified by Guinness World Records on May 13th. Yep. Hager said he started driving at the age of 14.
Oh, my gosh.
Quickly found he enjoyed driving larger vehicles, so why not become a bus driver?
Bus driver.
Now
he's 94.
95. He's 95 now. He's 95. How about that?
Reminds me of the great routine by Bob Newhart, the bus driver.
Yeah.
I'll have you on the floor laughing.
Bus driver, the driver's ed teacher.
Another classic.
Bob Newhart. Okay. 7:16 now, Stephen 10 in the morning here on KNSS. Let's take a look at sports this morning with Ted Woodward.
Yeah, we have a college men's basketball tonight for Kansas State. Interesting matchup. K-State is heading to 24th-ranked Indiana for a matchup with the Hoosiers. First visit to Assembly Hall for K-State in 40 years. K-State has never won in that building. 0-3 all time. In fact, K-State has had a rough go of late with the Hoosiers. K-State has lost its last 9 meetings with Indiana. Last time they beat them was 57 years ago. K-State is a 9.5-point underdog going into this one tonight. It is the road opener for K-State. Although, you look at the record, K-State's 5-1. Indiana's undefeated at 5-0. Hoosiers have won 7 straight home games. K-State at 24th-ranked Indiana. You can listen to that one live. Pre-game coverage for the K-State Wildcats at 6 o'clock this evening. It's over on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Meanwhile, KU is out in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand, taking part in that Players Era tournament where they're giving every school there $1 million in NIL money to spread among the players. Come play for us for $1 million. That's what they're all doing out in Vegas. KU won yesterday's game, beat Notre Dame 71-61, as the Fighting Irish missed 20 three-pointers in that game. Meanwhile, for KU, Flory Badunga, 18 points, 9 rebounds, 5 block shots, and 5 assists. KU improving to 4-2 on the season. They turn around and play again today. Afternoon game against Syracuse. Another big matchup. KU-Syracuse. The Orange 4-1, Jayhawks 4-2. KU a 4.5-point favorite as they'll meet Syracuse for the first time in 8 years. 2:30 this afternoon out in Las Vegas. JUCO men's basketball. Butler Community College is on the road at Pratt this evening. Butler going for its sixth win of the season before we even get to Thanksgiving. Dennis Higgins has live coverage of Butler basketball beginning at 7:15 this evening, and you can listen live on AM 1330 KNSS. College women's basketball last night on the west side. Newman winning at home beat Central Christian 94-43. The Newman ladies have won three of their last four. The Friends women are home tonight, hosting undefeated Science and Arts of Oklahoma. Friends is 6-1. Science and Arts is 5-0, undefeated. So a good matchup tonight on the west side. Women's basketball, Friends and Science and Arts. Pro basketball in the NBA last night. The Toronto Raptors win at home. They win again. Beat the Cleveland Cavaliers 110-99. A couple of local guys coming off the bench for the Raptors. KU's Ochai Agbaji and Wichita's Grady Dick. They both played 11 minutes off the bench for the Raptors. Agbaji ended up with 4 points. The Raptors have won 8 in a row. And they're in the number 2 spot right now in the Eastern Conference. How about that? Monday Night Football last night, the San Francisco 49ers win at home. They beat the Carolina Panthers 20-9 was the final score. You heard the game over on KFH. Starting at offensive right guard for the Niners, Dominic Pooney from KU. He played on all 70 snaps on offense on the offensive line. 0 sacks allowed. Hey, that's usually win games when that's happened. So the 49ers get the win. 49ers are 8-4 on the season, but they're in third place in their own division. They're in the number 7th and final spot in the NFC for a playoff spot with 5 games to go in the season. And a happy birthday today to an interesting guy with an interesting story to tell. Former Wichita Wranglers catcher Matt Tupman is 46 years old today. A guy that has a career batting average in the big leagues of what, Steve McIntosh?
I don't have any idea.
1,000.
Really? That's almost perfect.
He got one at-bat in the major leagues. And he got a hit, 1-for-1. So here's what happened. He got called up by the Royals in May of 2008 when catcher John Buck was placed on the paternity list after his wife gave birth prematurely. So Tupman made his major league debut as a pinch hitter for another Wrangler, Jimmy Gobble, against the Florida Marlins. 2 days later, Tupman came up in the top of the 9th inning, got a single, got a base hit, single to right field on a 1-0 count. So he got up to the big leagues for 2 pitches. One of them was a base hit. Then the next day, Buck was activated from the paternity list. Tupman went back down to the minor leagues and never came back up. He's in the big leagues for 2 pitches. And he got a hit, 1-for-1.
Wow.
Guy that never called him back up. The guy's career average of 1,000. The former Wichita Wranglers catcher, Matt Tupman. It is his birthday. He is 46 years old today. The guy that batted 1,000 in the big leagues, Matt Tupman. Hey, that's sports. And that's brought to you by Bel Air Recovery Center. Provides detox, residential, and outpatient services for most insurances and veterans. Bel Air Recovery Center improves the lives they touch. And sports is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for holiday fun. Beers with the boys, girls' night out, or a glass of wine with a longtime friend. WBC is the place where groups gather for the holidays. East, West, and historic Delano. Wichita Brewing Company. It's pizza and beer made here.
722 now. Keep it here for House Call for Health. A UN campaign is aiming to combat violence against women. That's on the way with Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS.
Nationally recognized Marconi Awarded radio show. This is Steve and Tad on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 7:30 on KNSS, and 48 degrees. Plenty of fog and mist out there this morning. Millions of U.S. travelers may have to deal with bad weather as they hit the roads for Thanksgiving.
Mother Nature may have some unwelcome surprises in store for Thanksgiving travelers as a cross-country storm could bring flight delays and dangerous driving conditions. Forecasters say the storm system, which originated in the southeast, could affect the central, southern, and eastern U.S. this week. Heavy rain, severe thunderstorms, and periods of snow could disrupt both traffic on the roads and in the skies. The Tuesday and Wednesday before Thanksgiving are usually the busiest travel days and fall in the time frame for significant weather events. AAA says this week is expected to see record high travel numbers with an estimated 82 million people driving and flying to their holiday destinations. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
A federal judge dismissing the Justice Department's indictments against former FBI Director James Comey and New York Attorney General Letitia James in a ruling that found the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, Lindsey Halligan, has been serving illegally. Fox's Mark Meredith with the latest.
The Attorney General says the Justice Department will appeal the ruling by a federal judge dismissing charges against both New York's Attorney General Letitia James as well as the former FBI Director James Comey. Prosecutors charged Comey with lying to Congress back in 2020. He pled not guilty, and his legal team's been filing multiple motions trying to get the case thrown out, including claims the prosecutor who brought the charges did not have the authority to begin with. James, who campaigned heavily on plans to prosecute Donald Trump, was accused by the Justice Department of lying on mortgage paperwork. In a statement, she says, "I am heartened by today's victory and grateful for the prayers and support I have received from around the country."
And the White House says legal action against Comey should continue.
A woman has been arrested in Great Bend after hitting a police officer with her car. Police were called to the Salvation Army November 18th to remove a woman from the store. The business said she was being disruptive. 49-year-old Leslie DeWitt left the store but came back later. An officer approached her car to try and arrest her. DeWitt put her car in reverse and hit the officer, briefly pulling him alongside the car. Police say she drove away, but officers were able to catch her. They say she kicked, spit, and tried to bite the officers. DeWitt was arrested on multiple charges, including aggravating the battery of an officer, felony interference, and possession of drugs.
The Justice Department says it has taken a step to combat rising rental prices.
The Justice Department reached a settlement with RealPage. Critics accuse the AI-enabled software platform used by the real estate industry of helping landlords fix rents by sharing pricing information. The software also recommends rent prices. The administration says the settlement will force RealPage to make changes and help restore free market competition for millions of American renters. The DOJ had sued a North Carolina federal court last year, accusing the platform of letting landlords collude against renters. Tom Graham, Fox News.
What are you most thankful for this week? Wichita Mayor Lily Wu tells KNSS News citizenship means a lot to her.
All the individuals that have made the American experiment possible. You know, democracy only works if all of us are involved. And that means that we have to be good citizens. And citizenship means giving back to your community, contributing in your community.
Lily Wu commented during Mondays with the Mayor on the Stephen Ted of the Morning Show here on KNSS. Now let's take a look at the forecast with meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Other than some patchy fog this morning, it's going to be a nice afternoon, mostly sunny, a little breezy, northwest wind 15 to 30 and a high of 56. Clear and colder tonight, overnight low 29, but a little blustery, so wind chills may be around 20 by Wednesday morning. Partly cloudy, cooler tomorrow, high 47. Things look good, though, for Thanksgiving, mostly sunny and 52. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Now fog and mist, a west wind at 8 miles per hour, 48 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 7:34 now, Stephen Ted in the morning here on KNSS. Time for our weekly chat with Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty. Good morning, sir.
Stephen Ted, good morning. Great to be with you.
Found out earlier, we were speaking with Ross Jansen at 12, that, hey, They're like a foot over what they're supposed to be out of Cheney Reservoir. The water's back. How about that?
Miracle, isn't it? Blink your eyes. And one day we're talking about, you know, being down 2 feet, 3 feet, 8 feet. At one point, I think it was pretty wild. And then over a period of about 3 weeks, we were back to normal. That's a good thing. Water is something that you just can't plan sometimes. And you do the best to be good stewards over. But we had a really wet summer and fall, and we got good news because of it.
All right. So what's going on at the county? Are we having a meeting tomorrow?
No meeting, you know, this week of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
On Wednesday mornings, we have a lot of people that are on vacation, a lot of people that are busy and tied up, and a lot of family activities, some group events and other things that commissioners will be doing. So we don't traditionally have a meeting the week of Thanksgiving, but there's still a lot going on. We worked all the last couple of weeks really to really finalize our legislative platform with the state. As you know, as the state comes back into session in January, the county is a political subdivision of the state. So, you know, we perform 16 departments and services like the tag office and the appraiser's office and elections. These are all conduits of the state. So we work really closely with our state partners to make sure that we're advocating for legislative changes that are impacting our mutual constituents. So, you know, I've talked to you guys about the importance of what we'll be doing with the tag offices and with, you know, corrections funding and things of that sort. Those will headline our legislative platform. Well, we've got several other things, over a dozen other things that we'll be working with the state partners on. You think about the appraiser's office, and we'll be talking about, you know, the Board of Tax Appeals. Right now, if you file an appeal and it gets elevated to the Board of Tax Appeals, we have some constituents that are waiting upwards of 3 years to have a determination on their appeal, and we just don't think that's acceptable or timely, or neither is it being good service. So we're going to propose legislation to limit that and put a cap at 1 year. They have to make a determination within 1 year. We're talking a lot about the 1% sales tax. It's in the county right now. It's been in the county since the mid-80s. Well, right now, the way the formula works, that the county splits it with the 20 cities. But if we lower our property tax mill levy, the way the formula works now, it actually reduces the amount of sales tax revenue that comes to the county or any of the cities. And we just think that's counterproductive. We think that if a taxing jurisdiction chooses to lower its property tax mill levy and property tax dependence, it shouldn't impact you negatively with the sales tax revenue. So we're working with the state and our municipal partners to work on a new formula and kind of level set that. So there's a lot going on. We have, like I said, there's probably 15 to 18 different issues that we're working through at the state. And we've had good success in years past, and we think we'll have another good year.
So any family traditions that you have at Thanksgiving, I'll tell you what we had at my cousins and I got together for a couple, 3 years. This was right around in the early 60s when the Kennedys were popular, and they would get together and have touch football games. Well, we would get all of my cousins and us, we'd get out there with all the boys and the girls and just play a game of touch football. That was always fun, something we did for several years. Anything that you did in your family?
Oh, yeah, it's the same thing. You know, I think I've told you before that all of my family is in the Wichita area, and both my mom's dad and my dad's side of the family, everyone's here. So my kids play with their fourth cousins, and we're a really tight family, really close family, and my kids see their, you know, third and fourth cousins at least once a week, sometimes multiple times a week. And Thanksgiving is a celebration where we'll have legitimate 60, 70 people in a room and at the house and running around, and we do a lot of football. Now, the problem with my kids and all of these kids that are running around is they don't play touch football. They play very aggressive tackle football. So I guess the tradition in my family is we'll have a fight or two with these kids before it's all said or done. But, you know, sports are a big part of all of our lives, and we play a lot of football, and they'll have some wiffle ball games going. And then we eat, and we eat, and we eat. To God's glory, we eat, and it is a wonderful, wonderful time. And so I love being with family, and I love Thanksgiving, and just watching my kids enjoy each other and enjoy the season.
Well, we were just in our day, we treated the women and girls a little differently. We didn't tackle them. I mean, I did have a cousin, Claudia, who was a pretty good fullback. She could knock you down, so, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's a little different in my family. The girls are the toughest. We raise tough girls. So you watch my daughter getting the ball, and, you know, my daughter's 13 and she's 5'10" and she can run a little bit, and she gets the ball and she's coming down the line, you know, like with a full head of steam. You watch, it's like the Red Sea parts. And all these little boys, they're not too tough, and they get out of the way for her. So now in our family, it's a little different. The girls are the tough ones.
See, tell the boys, just go for her ankles. That'll be okay. Hey, listen, we asked the mayor this yesterday. I think it's an interesting question. What are you most thankful for at Thanksgiving time, Ryan?
You know, that's a great question, and I think we all should be reflective and actually and legitimately ask ourselves these things. And as the older I get, you know, I think these kind of changes. I remember when I was a little younger, I was just thankful for relationships and thankful for, you know, opportunities. And I'll tell you, you know, today I'm thankful for health, thankful for family. If I look around, my parents are still healthy, and my brothers and sisters and all these kids and my wife and myself, we have health. And that's the one thing that you just, I've been around long enough. And, you know, after doing 12 years of pastoral ministry and being in private business and employing a lot of people, there are just times you blink your eyes and you lose health, and you watch people that lose health. I had a dear friend that passed away. Her husband passed away this last week, and it was very quick. And so you just, when you think back sometimes about what are the things we're most healthy about, the one thing that sometimes is completely out of our control and you're just in good favor and good fortune when you have it is your health. So I'm grateful for health. I'm grateful for my family's health. I'm grateful for the opportunity to fellowship and come together. I'm grateful for the opportunities I have today. You know, I never, ever forsake the privilege I have is to represent people in Sedgwick County and to get at the table and shape outcomes for our community. So I'm grateful for all these things. And we live in the greatest country in the history of the world. And we have our challenges like any country does. But at the end of the day, it's the greatest country with the greatest liberty and the greatest opportunities. And we should all remember that and be thankful.
Oh, where are you on pumpkin pie?
Huh? I'm a pumpkin pie guy. You know, I'm kind of turning into a cheesecake kind of guy.
Ooh,
like nice. Yeah.
Carrot cake has caught my affinity the last few years, and you warm that up. But you know what my favorite thing to do now is, you know those Hawaiian rolls? It's not even the meal, it's the post-meal. And the days following, when you take that turkey and you warm that up with mayonnaise on it and maybe a little cheese on those Hawaiian rolls, we could do that the whole week following Thanksgiving and,
boy, no kidding.
And feed our family. It's amazing.
Ted and I will be over on Friday.
Come on over. We'll let you join the tackle football game with my daughter and see if you can tackle her.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, and have a great Thanksgiving. We'll see you back.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Next week. Ryan Beatty, the Sedgwick County Commission Chair, Ryan Beatty with us here on a Tuesday morning, as always, with Steve and Ted. 7:42 now, and what do we got coming up? Oh, the Wichita Business Journal update on the way with Kirk Semenoff. Textron is phasing out two Beechcraft planes.
Oh,
tell us about that on the way. Steve and Ted of the Morning here on KNSS. Steve and Ted of the Morning, KNSS, 7:47 here on a Tuesday morning, 48 degrees. Three big things.
Three.
Wichita City Council to select new city manager today.
Two.
More than 100 homes damaged by an apparent tornado in Houston, Texas. No injuries reported.
One.
Federal judge throws out all indictments against former FBI Director James Comey. Three big things. Steve and Ted on KNSS.
We have a traffic accident southbound. I-135 is now closed. They closed it between 53rd Street North and I-235 there at the North Junction. So again, that is southbound I-135 closed at 53rd Street North. We got a backup that goes almost all the way back to 77th Street now. And that North Junction northbound going through there is really starting to slow down as well. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS in the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jed Chambers.
Patchy fog this morning, then sunny today with a high of 56 degrees. Mostly clear and cold tonight, the overnight low 29. Wednesday, increasing clouds with a high of 46 degrees. Now we have fog and mist, west wind at 8 miles per hour. 48 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7. And 1330 KNSS. Companies across the board are laying off tens of thousands of white-collar workers, citing artificial intelligence as a reason, even when it's not completely the case.
Fox on Tech.
The job market is being disrupted by AI, with major companies like Amazon and Target slashing thousands of corporate jobs. Companies are also eliminating entry-level positions that are easily replaced by artificial intelligence. The class of 2025 is submitting more job applications than their 2024 counterparts, but receiving fewer offers, according to the National Association of Colleges and Employers. That is why more students are turning to trade schools. Enrollment is up around 11%, over four times that of college. And at Apex Technical School, they've seen an increase in enrollment of nearly 15%. Students here feel that they are in AI-proof jobs. Here's Apex Technical School construction student Nasir Woods.
In the future, you have so much like AI and all this stuff now. It's a lot of people are going to be needing like to do hands-on jobs because the robot can't do much like plumbing and electrical and stuff like that. So that's why you got people like us here.
For Fox on Tech, I'm Madison Allworth, Fox Business.
A positive close on Wall Street Monday.
The major average is rising to start this holiday shortened trading week on the back of hopes of an interest rate cut by the Fed next month. The market also benefiting from strength for stocks caught up in that AI frenzy. Also rising, shares of Centene, Elevance Health, and Molina Healthcare after reports that President Trump would back a proposal extending Affordable Care Act subsidies. The Dow closing up 202 points, the S&P 500 climbing 102 points, and NASDAQ rising 598 points. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, Caterpillar, and IBM. The Dow decliners, Home Depot, Procter & Gamble, and McDonald's. Angelo Bavaro, Fox News.
Textron is phasing out two Beechcraft planes. Time for the Wichita Business Journal update now with editor Kirk Semenoff. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning, Steve. Textron Aviation is phasing out two of its Beechcraft piston engine planes that have been manufactured in the city for nearly 80 years. The Beechcraft Baron G58 and Bonanza G36 will no longer be made after current orders are filled. A spokesperson for the company tells the Business Journal the shift will allow it to focus on rolling out the Beechcraft Denali turboprop, which achieved a certification milestone earlier this year. Textron Aviation delivered four Bonanzas and two Barons in the first half of 2025, according to General Aviation Manufacturers Association shipment reports. There are more upgrades ahead for a Wichita Walmart, this time on the far east side of town. The Kellogg and Greenwich Walmart is getting set for $2.1 million in renovations, which will include an expanded pharmacy and relocated vision center. Already in the Wichita area, the West Kellogg, North Meridian, Broadway and Pawnee, and Goddard Walmarts have either had renovations or fuel centers added. And a Walmart neighborhood grocery at 21st and Aminin has also seen upgrades. Walmart said its 82 retail units and four supply chain facilities in Kansas have had $264 million in upgrades in the past 5 years. And a five-decade-old Wichita restaurant is on the hunt for a new location. Chico's Mexican restaurant at Maple and Tracy wants to downsize and move away from the decline in activity at the former Town West Square shopping mall. Owner Guadalupe Cordova said she's looking both east and west for a new location. Meanwhile, the Chico space is on the market for $675,000, with 3,800 square feet on just over an acre. The restaurant can seat up to 112. Local breaking business news every day on KNSS and at WichitaBusinessJournal.com. For the Wichita Business Journal, I'm Kirk Semenoff.
Brought to you by Mr. Electric, lighting up the path to your success. Well, Kirk, if you're talking about prop airplanes, that's pretty much the technology of the past, although having flown in one of those prop airplanes, those are pretty nice. They're fun to fly in. Too bad they got to discontinue that.
Yeah, I think they're banking heavily on the Denali. They've been working to get certifications on that, and I think you'll see a marketing blitz on that soon. It's kind of taken over for the Baron and the Bonanza.
All right. Are you all ready for Thanksgiving? It's just a couple of days away, you know.
I'm already licking my chops, my man.
That's what you do then. You just kind of get the chops in shape there by some constant licking, and then you're ready to eat, right? That's it.
It'll be Thursday afternoon before you know it.
Yes, sir.
No kidding. And Christmas is 1 month from today, by the way.
Oh, wow.
What do you think of
goodness.
That? I know.
One of those late Thanksgiving Novembers where Christmas is here in basically an hour and a half.
Yeah. You know?
I haven't even begun my Christmas shopping. It won't take long. Once I get started.
I will text you my list.
Do you have a big family gathering for Thanksgiving, or is it just you by yourself supping in your lonely rooms, or what's it going to be?
Our daughter is hosting us this year.
That's
there are
right.
only four of us locals. There's only four Semenoff locals anymore, so... We are going to Lawrence, and we can fit everybody in her apartment. So
that's right. I forgot. You told us that yesterday. Yeah.
Yes. It's so, small gathering, but we still find room for 14 or 15 side dishes.
There you go. There's a crowd.
It seems like that.
In the December of 1999, the United Nations General Assembly designated November 25th as the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. The date marks the beginning of 16 days of remembrance and activism
culminating in International Human Rights Day, and I think that's something we can get behind and support, the elimination of violence against women, a noble cause. All right, Kirk, we will check with you again 1 hour from now, then, with Steve and Ted. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour this morning, we have, as usual, a lot of good information planned for you, Steve and Ted. We'll have a new city manager at the end of the day. We'll see about that. Ted will have a look at sports, as always.
Yeah, we've got Jayhawks and the Wildcats in action in men's basketball today, so we'll preview those games coming up in sports.
How about entertainment news? We're going to have the Blur today?
Yeah, we do have a music obituary. Gilligan's Island might show up in the Blur. All sorts of interesting folks. That'll be at 8:35 this morning.
And we have traffic and weather in the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.